Welcome to Fantastic Females, our adventure to finding the mythical island of freedom together. I'm Kalyani.
And I'm Rupali. We are your next door finance experts sharing our experiences in the world of money and energetics.
Welcome to our episode this week, and we'll be talking about a lot of things that kind of play out in our personal lives and how that relates to the markets, in particular social media, which I like to think of as a necessary evil. And it's funny, we just had a conversation about this, not in the context of the podcast, just today, and we're bringing you our discussion fresh.
Yes, as we do, right? I think this is what's so nice about the way we do things, because it's always so relevant to what's going on in our lives in terms of whatever topic it is. I mean, Kalyani, you and I, you know, we live and breathe and eat and sleep these topics and these discussions. And we've, you know, from the very outset, we said this is like an extension to our regular conversations, which makes it so interesting.
Exactly. So a lot of what we talk about on the podcast is not something that we put on for the podcast, but it's actually conversations that we would normally have just hanging out.
Yes.
So today the discussion started with me kind of talking to Rupali and our team member about possibly deleting my social media apps from my phone. It's come to that. I've just been feeling like I'm pretty glued to my phone a lot, and I don't feel like I get focused work done even when I have made all the arrangements. You know, I will make sure my son's busy, I will make sure everyone else is looked after. I work from home, so I kind of have to create that boundary and space for myself. And when I have done that and made that space for myself, I end up on the phone sometimes, because maybe I don't have patience to listen to what I'm listening to, if it's something that's kind of learning based. If it's something that I need to do, I keep getting distracted. And I think this is probably the reality for a lot of us, right?
Yeah, exactly. We get stuck in a cycle, we get stuck in habits. Just picking up your phone and opening Instagram becomes a habit, and we don't realize the cost of it, not only the time, but how is it impacting your pocket? Now, that's the juicy topic that we are going to talk about today.
Exactly. So, do you think social media makes you earn less money or makes you lose money, Rupali?
Ooh, yeah. I think it definitely can. I think this is where a lot of mindfulness and a lot of like checking in with yourself comes in. But I do think absolutely social media is currently ruling the world. We talk about people, we talk to entrepreneurs, we talk to all sorts of people who feel the pressure of social media for themselves to generate their business, to, you know, because it's a big deal. But then you see the consumer, and you see people like you and I, where we watch these videos and we're like, oh wow, I must know more. And then you go into that kind of, which is not a bad thing as long as you're aware.
Yeah, I think let's try and have two different conversations through the podcast today. Let's see if that works. As a consumer and as a business owner, I find that it's very different in the two profiles. So as a consumer, I think you're at obviously the end of receiving all this information and content, and that's a very different feeling, very different kind of pressure addiction that you could be going through, or different processing of information. Versus if you're a business owner, you almost feel compelled to be on social media. You might be going through trainings, you might be constantly trying to kind of question how you can do it better. And this is a big paradigm in like all the small business owner communities that we're part of. We're a part of where everyone thinks that social media, whether it's measured by followers or likes or engagement, is the basis of success. And I personally know a few people who probably have small followerships, small follower numbers, like maybe below 1,000 followers, but they consistently do well because they don't let that kind of stop them, and the universe provides, or their business kind of just rolls. So maybe that's something as a business owner, just kind of finishing the loop of that conversation, that compulsion may not be necessary. And we'd love for all our listeners to kind of contribute with businesses or service providers that you might know of who don't have a great social media presence and are secure in that while being successful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think many conversations that I have with people that are kind of solopreneurs, and they are feeling like it's not even authentic for them to be a certain way for social media. I mean, walking around with a selfie stick and saying, "Hi guys, I ate this, I did this," you know, I mean, fine, some people do it, it's great, you know, it creates content for the social media, there's a reason why, it works. But that might be how they are, and that does not mean that you fall into that trap as a business owner too. So I think mindfulness, again, it links back to that, where you just need to be yourself and do, you know, if you're doing something you're enjoying, it comes across, whether it's in person, whether it's on social media, whether it's your one post a week, whatever it is, it hits the right spot.
Yeah, exactly. And I think as business owners, we've also been through the rite of passage, maybe you can call it, where you kind of go through the pressure and then the quality dips of what you're putting out, and that's not worth it. So then you kind of circle back to doing maybe lesser frequency, but adding more value to what you're putting out there. And even with my previous business, I think it was more of a dilemma then for me, because it was a kids-based business. And any social media person that I would engage with would very strongly mention that you have the product available to you. You have a child. You can just start making content. And just those like few phrases and sentences were so triggering, because I'm not a very social media pro kind of person myself, at least in terms of putting my life out there. So I had to kind of build that boundary, and maybe I did lose money as a business owner, kind of bringing the discussion back to our topic today. But it was at the cost of my mental peace. So I was very happy to have that boundary. So I think as a business owner, that has to be really clear, and we always try and present ourselves in an authentic way and with the right energy on our social media channels, right?
Absolutely. I think we have kind of also consulted with and kind of be very passionate about this topic. We want to reach as many people as possible, but we want to reach the right people, that it's not just about the numbers for us. We really want to reach people that would benefit out of our conversations, the content we put out there. And so to be able to do that, we have to put our authentic selves out there. The word authentic is so overused as well, but for the lack of a better word, I mean, that is what we put out. We kind of, the topics we discuss, the stuff that comes up on our podcast is stuff that we're kind of living. We market, any market-related stuff is stuff we're reading for ourselves, and we're like, oh yeah, cool, let's, you know, share it with our listeners, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
Similarly with mindset or any topics like mindfulness around time.
So you will not find us with selfie sticks around Dubai or wherever we are, as much as our social media team members would like us to do. That will not be us.
Yeah.
So now swinging the conversation towards being a consumer, Rupali, I think you and I are great targets for a lot of information-based social media out there. And do you want to tell us a little bit of like your experience with it?
So I personally actually have not, we were just discussing this earlier, right? I've not had a social media account since late 2020. And when we were getting onto this fantastic female's journey, I got told you need to have a personal brand, all of that. And I'm like, okay, whatever, no. Because I don't need people to see what I'm eating necessarily. But I think for consumers, my recent experience versus before is very, very different, because my account is very intentional in who I follow and what I kind of spend time on. That's my personal account, and I try and keep it clean. It's obviously, I mean, the algorithm of Instagram is to kind of really get stuff out to you that you would not necessarily go looking for. And it's more of the same, more of the same, more of the same, where you're kind of in the spiral. So I think when it comes to social media, you know, is it making me lose money? Yeah, possibly, because you're being sold products all the time, right? I mean, to you yourself and I, like you said, the information-based accounts and stuff, the information they provide, it might be like a live that you attend and you're like, oh my goodness, I must know this information because I don't know it. But more often than not, we come away walking away from it thinking, actually, that was like pretty flat.
Yeah, especially these $30 to $50 kind of webinars that they tend to have, which is supposed to kind of solve the problem that you're facing. Especially in business, I find around social media there are loads, and people have built micro niches. So when sometimes I feel like entrepreneurship is a fast track to personal growth. So you're constantly dealing with stuff and you want to bring ease and joy in your journey. So when you see a webinar for $35, let's say, around social media engagement, increasing social media engagement, you think this is it and this is what I need.
It's going to solve your problems.
It's only $35. But before you know it, you've signed up to four $35 or $50 webinars in the month. All of these are then upselling their $2,000 courses, which sound kind of sort of tempting. But then it just ends up becoming a whole big like a pot of confusion and brain fog overall. So that's definitely there.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think and I think we've been going through some content around this whole process of how they sell to you also, right? And so that really opens your eyes to, oh my goodness, I've been falling for this trap each and every time. You know, yeah, you walk away with a little bit of more information, and we are nerds like that. So we like stuff like that. But is it the most mindful thing to do? Is it the right thing for you? Is that time pressure of buy it today and you get $250 off the right? I mean, it, so what? I'll pay full price for it if I need it. So I think that's what I'm trying to move towards. And I am, I think, very much there in terms of, it's not so much about the saving or the money. It's more about absorbing all this information at this moment. I mean, we spoke about it the last time where I said until June, no more courses. And yes, so I'm sticking to that. And you've had a journey of yours, right? Through your, for your trading stuff that you did.
Very, let's get very kind of thick into money and social media and the connection between the two. So when I learned about trading, it was actually, I have to say, through email marketing that I first learned about a conference happening on trading hosted by a UK-based company. And that was my first introduction to trading. And I mentioned this on my social media in my courses that as surprising as it is, being an economics student, economics, the way it's taught in universities is very theoretical. So they don't actually teach you how to make money from the subject matter of financial markets that you are studying, but you don't know how to use them.
Yeah.
So it was my brain was kind of just kind of blowing up with ideas, and I loved what I learned. I loved getting back to charts because what I was doing then with my other business was very different. So just getting back into analysis and numbers was very exciting then. But very soon, I was then an apprentice with the company, but with excitement, I started following a lot of trading, investing-based accounts on social media. And social media caught up, and like you said, the algorithm started pushing more and more success stories, profiles to me. All these, I probably followed, I don't know, maybe 100, 200 such profiles. They all have a different system. They all specialize in a different corner of or sub-niche of trading. And it all seems so lucrative because everyone seems to be doing $10,000 a day with minimal effort.
No.
Exactly.
That's all I have to say.
Exactly. And so they make it sound a certain way. They make it look a certain way. And for a naive person just getting into any field, to be honest, it can sometimes be very misleading. So in the 2 years from this point, I've probably spent easily upwards of $20,000, which was probably the cost of my master's degree, and maybe an equivalent amount of time on going through about 7 systems or courses that I can think of, all that I came across through social media. All of them had a cult loyal following of hundreds and thousands of people. But then what was more challenging for me was to cut through the noise of everything that I had learned. So everyone explains fundamentals differently. Everyone explains strategies differently. And a lot of these strategies are based on something called indicators, which I cover in my course called Investing Starter course as well. And the basics of indicators are fine, but then there are 10,000, literally 10,000 indicators available to us at this point. So just a combination of these makes it 10,000 factorial, if we remember our high school mathematics. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that takes the number into billions or maybe even more. So going through, so in effect, that means there are billions of strategies that could potentially be successful, and people are just holding on to the one strategy that has made them money and then pushing that out with great marketing. So as once again, as someone who is sincere and who wants to make money, either you do a very kind of rigorous experiment and go through each of these with the same amount of time, same amount of funds, which would easily, like I shared, I went through 7 systems. So even 6 months on each system would take me through 3.5 years of potential profits or losses. And by the end, then I would know what I want to carry on practicing. That is not very realistic. So then you kind of just tend towards a system that makes more sense, that is giving you results. And after that, it's up to you to stop looking at whatever comes up on social media, whether it's something that you've done already or something new. There will always be new accounts that are coming up with great results, apparently, at least to show to the world. And this blocking or creating a boundary is something that has been really crucial, because the noise cancelling, like I said, after everything that I learned and I lost some money, I'm in some trades actually, just to give you an example, that were backed by conviction from one of these so-called teachers, mentors from, let's say, 2021. And I'm in these trades not feeling the conviction myself because I didn't know any better then. And they're not the best trades to carry on with now. But some of them are so negative, and I've been dollar cost averaging, that I don't want to let go of my principal amount. I don't need that capital right now, luckily. But I don't want to let go of that principal amount. So that means that one example is Tesla on my portfolio. I don't feel great about the company right now as a personal opinion, but I invested a couple of $1,000 back in 2021 off the back of someone else's conviction and system. And now I have dollar cost averaged a little more into that as well, to kind of make my average cost per share come down. And now I'm possibly stuck with Tesla for 3 to 5 years if I don't want to lose any money on it, until it grows to a point where I recover my investments. So for me, social media has a very direct impact, has had at least in the past, a very direct impact. And it's only in the last 1 year that I've kind of, I know my system from before that. I know the system that works for me, and I've that's what I bring to Trading Mom. But energetically, emotionally, I'm not available to whatever social media is pushing, and it took me all that drain of energy to come to this point.
Yeah, I think you make such a valid point, because people think the easy way out or easy way into investments is just by putting someone on a pedestal and following them blindly. But I think what you bring to the table with your Investing Starter course is the knowledge and the tools to be able to know for yourself, right? You're not preaching. You're not saying these are my 10 stocks, go for it blindly. You're teaching tools. You're giving the toolkit, and then that person can then gauge and assess and see what to do, and that will be their decision.
Exactly.
Then you don't hold any resentment. Exactly. Then the power's in your hands, right? Because now you're not following that mentor, and you, like, or you may not be, and people, you know, then you don't have to hold this resentment for it.
Yeah, and I don't want anyone to back their investment decisions based on a message that I send out to the community, you know. In future, there could be something like that that we do for Trading Mom, where we are sharing our portfolio for transparency. But I want everyone who comes into the community to be self-sufficient in making these decisions. And that's kind of like a part of social media as well, in terms of the information that it spreads. I mean, we've seen what's happened with the recession talk all of last year.
Yeah.
This is a very normal part of the markets. We've discussed this in detail before, so I won't talk about it for a long time. But the amount of noise around it,
absolutely.
Oh my God, like whenever the recession comes, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to hear about it. I'm so sick and tired of the conversation already.
Yeah, absolutely. I think social media has a big role to play in this. I mean, obviously you have all the news agencies, you have all the financial news channels, you have when I say channels, online online TV, all of that, but then you have social media, where every Tom, Dick and Harry actually comes through and says, gives their peace of mind about, and you know, I don't want it actually, I don't even want to know what you say, you know. So I think you make such a valid point. I mean, there's so much misinformation out there, there is so much fake news, there's so much propaganda, there's so much in the, not in the political sense, but in the whole back end kind of negative news towards like hidden agendas, type of, you know, you don't want that.
Yeah, definitely.
It's, I mean, this Adani example that just came up, was a report that came out, right? And it was this guy who, Hindenburg, he came out, they came up with a research report. It's a short seller, so it's someone who basically does the opposite of buying. Which means you are betting that the stock is going to lose money for specific reasons. And the two things that were highlighted in his report was stock price manipulation by Adani and accounting frauds over decades. Now, what that caused is a sell-off in
one
the
second,
Indian...
One second. So the Adani Industries is a group that has really grown to prominence in the last 2 to 5 years, I think, in the Indian markets. And they've recently lost $2 billion is the last figure I read. I haven't actually played into this news a lot, this news story a lot. So Rupali is my source right now.
Yeah. I think, I mean, there's the numbers, like we just, I mean, you know, it speaks to what we are talking about. Numbers are just rolling around everywhere. I mean, 5 hours ago, apparently the stock plunged $72 billion.
Oh,
and
my
so
God.
There's numbers also. So let's not focus on the absolute number. It is well in the billions in terms of the stocks have lost. But I think this also highlights the panic that something like this can cause, where obviously he's come out and said this is not true, it's not been proven, blah blah blah, because yeah, fair enough, this guy's just put a report out there.
Yeah.
But imagine the impact that one person has, right? I mean, it's just shocking. And this impacted the Indian stock market. We were talking about earlier that there's all sorts of conspiracy theories, mm-hmm. and it's just become like a real, you know, for the lack of a better word, like a real mess.
Yeah, it's become a political debate on my social media again. because Adani is the name of the owner of the group, the massive group. And it's the surname of the owner. And he is stipulated as the benefactor of the current ruling regime in India, in terms of a lot of favorable economic decisions and subsidies, etc., etc. So now it's become an attack of the opposition on the ruling party in terms of economics. You know, like they do political debates, and now it's become an economic debate. And social media is obviously just going crazy about it. But
I think maybe just for the benefit of our listeners, actually Adani overtook Jeff Bezos last year as the world's richest man. So he's a pretty big guy.
Yeah, yes.
Or was, I don't know.
Thanks for that.
So people invested in Adani stocks or the Indian stock market have possibly lost a lot of money due to this recent speculation, fueled in effect by social media. Going back, some of you might remember the huge story around the GameStop short back in Jan 2021. This was again a follow-up to a short seller's report that pretty much went viral, and it received a lot of momentum with supporters on social media who were actually trying to fight a battle against the big money-making institutions in the market. I was pretty new and I jumped on the Wall Street Bets bandwagon for the sake of FOMO pretty much. And I shorted GameStop, only to lose half of my tiny capital at the time. And it was really traumatizing. So I think I definitely have a negative correlation with social media. And anyone who's on the edge of their seats about what I actually did in terms of deleting my social media apps, well, I was told I can't because I need to have them on my phone for business purposes, for content creation.
So there you
go. Unfortunately, they're where they were. But in conclusion, I think we'd just like to drive a very simple point of simply investing in your own learning and your own conviction instead of following social media, giving it the opportunity to lead you, can be dangerous and could be losing you money, literally, whether it's as a business owner or as a consumer, instead of kind of being a bit more secure, self-assured with your own knowledge, with your own confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the way forward. And I mean, I keep harping on about it, but you just mentioned the amount of hours, time, 10,000 indicators. I mean, honestly, and you know, money, all of that you've put in and your experience of trading. I mean, what better way to start than to, you know, invest in an investing starter course that really equips you to kind of put the path forward.
Yes, so Investing Starter is just for beginners who don't know anything about finance, and it brings you up to a level of being able to manage an investing portfolio with confidence. The next level to that, which I'm announcing for the first time, is going to be the Passive Income Masterclass. That's coming very soon, and you'll hear about it on our social media. And that is more to do with, it will include more strategies and it will kind of take it to the next level, and it will be held live on Zoom, which means that you'll have direct access to me. And we're also putting in place a way of being in contact for 3 months after. So you'll have a continuous support after the classes have finished to make sure you're comfortable, to make sure you are actually trading instead of this just being one other course that stays in your inbox.
How exciting. I mean, that's not support that you can get access to usually, right? So it's quite nice to have that person to like go to and actually ask questions. It's not some bot. It's not some social media rep that's replying to your messages. It's you.
Yes. And one other way of working with us, the last way that I would like to mention, is going to be the Money Makeover physical session that we're hosting at Prana House on the 26th of February. Again, you can check the details on Prana House's social media or Fantastic Females' social media, and that will be Rupali and me, which I'm really excited about because obviously two people are better than one sometimes in terms of you know, kind of taking turns or learning from different perspectives. So we'll be bringing in a lot of like mindset in terms of clearing your limiting beliefs about making money, and then actually teaching you how to do it, right?
And we may have a special surprise towards the end of that course. So, yeah.
Great. I, as a consumer, want to sign up to all of these. But I'll leave it to your discretion. And we'll be back next week with the next episode. Thank you very much for today.
Good. So with that, we bring this episode of our financial adventure to an end. Please follow us on all social media platforms at Fantastic Females.
None of the information provided is financial advice, and Fantastic Females is not a financial advisor.
The information provided is educational only. It is general in nature and does not take into account your personal circumstances.
Please use your own due diligence before making any financial or investment decisions.